You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday. That's what day of the week it is. In case you didn't know. So, I'm book writing, right? And last night I was writing the book that will someday be the post-traumatic winning book. I was, hold on, let me find the spot. So I was writing about the fourth commandment and the third and fourth commandment. So the third commandment of post-traumatic winning is trauma is trauma is trauma. And the fourth commandment is we don't get over the things that traumatize us. So I'm writing. I start on the fifth commandment, which is feeling damaged by trauma is normal. And I think, I look at my clock, it's like 9:30. I'm like, okay, it's my bedtime. Or at least I got to head to bed. So I look at my screen and my computer monitor, and it's on Facebook because somebody had messaged me and I had returned the message. And so I look and I see Matt Kiker is still awake. Now, he's 2 hours ahead of me. And so I say, let me give Matt Kiker a call. Now, if you don't know Matt Kiker, I'll give you a 60-second introduction to Matt Kiker. He recently got out of the Marine Corps as a Lance Corporal, right? So he did his 3 years or 4 years, whatever he did, and got out. I met him a year ago in January, and I met him when getting ready to do post-traumatic winning. The audiovisual guy comes up to me and says, hey, Mac, you need to talk to this Marine. And I said, all right. And I walk over, and Matt was, he's in bad shape. He was shaking, right? He had tears in his eyes and told me he couldn't watch whatever I was going to present. He couldn't watch it because he had too much suicide in his life, and these things just piss him off. So that's my introduction to Matt. we go back into a kind of a coffee area at the Staff NCO Academy at Camp Johnson aboard Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. And he looks at me and he says, does it ever stop hurting? And I said, nope, never. And it's the start of our relationship. Dave Furness walks in a few minutes later. I introduce Matt to General Furness. And in short, Matt got sent to alcohol rehab. He's been sober for over a year now, and he's completely changed his life. And when I met him, he and I had dinner last August when I was back in North Carolina, and he told me that he thinks he, at that point, had kept 9 different people from killing themselves. 9 people, 1 Marine. Just not being afraid to talk about his life and their life and what they could do in their life. Anyway, so that's my introduction. That's your, if you don't know Matt Kiker, that's Matt Kiker. If I would recommend that you listen to the interview I did with him. Okay. Born and raised in Alabama. Father commits suicide on the phone with he and his mom and his little brother when he was 9. Best friend, or one of his good friends in elementary school, hangs himself in 6th grade. Brother commits suicide. Matt goes home to bury him. Matt's in the Marine Corps now. Finds out his brother was sleeping with his fiance. I mean, it's just total shit show, right? And when he was telling me this stuff, I'm like, he's making this stuff up, man. This can't be true. And so, and then he sits through post-traumatic winning and he begins to, you know, learn and understand. And I think the biggest thing that post-traumatic winning provided to Matt and it provides to people is it shows you a path that you can walk after trauma enters your life. And it doesn't sugarcoat anything. You know, it says you got to learn how to coexist because it's never going away. It says you got to live with self-discipline or else you'll destroy your life. And that's physical fitness, financial fitness, you know, discipline relative to alcohol and drugs. You can't do that shit, right? And all these things help you to live a great life. And most importantly, what post-traumatic winning offers people, and I just did this on Tuesday with some guys who want to sit down and help a friend. It offers you the vision of using your pain to help others. And I think that's really, really important. Because, you know, people that are struggling, when you sit down and you want to kind of do an intervention and tell them how fucked up they are, I mean, there's natural pushback to that, right? Post-traumatic winning, I think there's a better sales pitch. Look, we need you to get your shit together so you can help us save other people, right? Because there's all kinds of guys hurting like you are, like we are. But we need you on our team. We need you helping us. But the first step in doing that is you got to get your shit together. And that resonates with people. You know, I think people think, I'd love to help somebody not go through what I'm going through. All right, man, I got a program for you. Come with me. And so, but again, I think what's so important is after they listen to post-traumatic winning, what happens is they can see a path. They can see a path through a dark place, right? Again, not sugar-coated. You're not going to get over it. But they see how, you know, these are the pillars that keep this house in order. And then if I can, you know, if I can use this and the truths I've learned to help other people that are going through similar things or that we might be going through together as a family, then, I mean, I've just turned, you know, trauma into joy. And so anyway, so that's the power of post-traumatic winning. It's a path, right? It's Interstate 4. It's the fourth path in terms of dealing with trauma. And, I always say it's kind of like Brigadoon, though. It's not, you don't see it all the time. There's certain things you got to do to be able to see it. And then once you do those things, it becomes apparent. So anyway, I see that Matt's awake. I pick up the phone. I call him. He answers the phone. Hello? And I said, like, what are you doing? he's like, I'm at work. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, I won't tell you what he does, but, you know, he works. And I said, He said, but I got time to talk. And so we start talking. And then all of a sudden he stops and he says, why are you calling me? I said, well, I said to say hi. And he said, yeah, but why? I said, well, I was writing and I was in my book on post-traumatic winning. And then when I went to, you know, shut everything down, I noticed that you were still online. And I said, I need to give that crazy human being, I need to give him a call. And he said, this is crazy. And I said, what? And he said, my aunt died today. He said, and I was thinking of you. And he said, and then, you know, I'm thinking of you. All of a sudden, my phone lights up, and there's your name. And I said, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And he starts laughing. And so we had this conversation. And you know, for whatever reason, you know, there's a dark cloud in Matt's vicinity a lot in his life, in his young life. And we were talking about that. And he said, you know, he said, I, you know, why me? I said, there's no answer to that. And he said, I know. And he said, but you know, I got told earlier today that everything seems to change when I show up for my family because of the things I say, because of the things that I've learned. You know, and I made peace with my aunt yesterday. You know, I was holding her hand and I actually took her pulse and I knew she was struggling and I knew she wasn't going to last much longer. I told everybody they need to say goodbye. And, you know, and so after I left my family today, I felt good in that, you know, I knew I could help and I knew I helped already. And he said, it's just an incredible feeling. He said, I know what's going to happen. I know where this goes. And, you know, and so he and I were just kind of shooting the shit. And, you know, it's just honestly, I mean, it's amazing to hear that, right, from such a young guy that he knows, right? I know where this is going. I know where this is going. And so I can't tell you how good that feels and how much I want to encourage everybody. If you have not looked at post-traumatic winning and you listen to the program, you have to, because there's so many people out there that are hurting, and you can ease that pain. You can help them. You know, and while you're doing that, you know, truth be told, you're easing your own pain, right? You're using your traumatic experience to help other people. And so I just wanted to share that with the group this morning. Because I mean, so I went to bed last night, and I mean, with a happy heart, because of, you know, all the work that's been done relative to post-traumatic winning and you know, flying all over the country and doing it. And then you just get, you know, something like that happens to you kind of out of the blue. And you hear a guy who was, right, who's lived in such distress. And, you know, and now it happens to him again. Except he knows this time. He knows. He knows how this is going to go. He knows what to do. He knows the path. And it's just, honestly, I mean, it's just amazing when you listen to this and you know where he came from, you know, just a year ago, and you see where he is today. And so the reason I share this is that if Matt Kiker can do this, everybody can do it. And you know, I often, you know, I'm often asked about, you know, well, you know, who is post-traumatic winning for and whatnot. Well, you know, post-traumatic winning is for the 90% of people who do not suffer from serious mental illness. And what I mean by that is bipolar, schizophrenic, manically depressed. And really, that's the that's the segment of the population that is making the suicide number go up. And so anybody who's impacted by traumatic experiences, I mean, you can help them. You can save their life. And I'm telling you, it's the most rewarding experience you can have to show, again, I think the best way to articulate it is to show somebody that path. And that's all you're doing. Let me show you a path. And it's a path that will take you to an incredible place. It's a path that gives meaning to your suffering. It's a path where you can turn traumatic experiences into joy. Yeah, it sounds like a fantasy, right? Well, it's not. It's not. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you this morning because part of the magic in my life is just these experiences. That's probably the third one this week. You know, I had another guy, you know, they're down in Texas trying to save somebody, and he said he told me it's working. He's incredibly excited because, you know, dealing with somebody who they thought was going to kill themselves. And now it's, you know, it's working. And so if you haven't checked it out, just go to the website. You'll see the post-traumatic winning tabs and just start poking around, start listening to stuff. And, you know, it's all stuff that I learned from Marines. I've learned from, you know, parents of Marines, our Marine culture, spouses of Marines. And it's nothing but the truth. It's blue collar mental health, as I call it. And to hear Matt Kiker, who lost somebody else in his family, say that I know the path and I'm helping other people and I'm in a good place. I mean, come on, man. How can you ever put a reward on that? I mean, it's priceless, right? And I offer that to everybody. So if you're not doing it, get your ass moving and go take a look at that shit. Anyway, China. China's going to be in a bad position when the dust settles. So my question to you is, as a strategic thinker, the United States is going to be in a position to sit down with China and say, you deceive the world intentionally. Okay, and we want to talk to you about compensation for what you've done to the American economy. What would that look like? What do we want, you know, from China? So I would be curious to know what you think about that. What should the United States ask? You know, should we wipe out some of our debt? Should we go to a PAC and just say, hey, here's what, you know, we think the world's relationship with China ought to change. And this is probably a good moment to do it. You know, China still enjoys preferential trade status in some places. I think with the WTO and... we think we ought to take a look at some of this stuff and we should welcome China into the world of where nations deal eyeball to eyeball. And then, look at, you know, countries that don't have the robust economy of the United States. Look what this has done to that. And again, the economic impact is going to be felt for years. I just saw where USA Today said that they are going to give back $520 million to the people that hold their policies. Well, you know, that's a lot of money, right? Well, how much is that per person? 30 bucks? You know, given all the policyholders they have, how much is that per person? And what does that do? You can buy a pizza for your family and have it delivered. Depending on what kind of pizza you get, the tip could be included in the 30 bucks. So all these things that are, you know, and it's great for USAA to do that. But I mean, honestly, a pizza is not going to lessen the pain. It's not going to lessen the pain. So, back to China, what should the United States require of China? What should the world require of China? I mean, those should be two separate questions. What should the world require of China, and what should the United States require of China? Because, again, it'd be one thing if, you know, let's just say it came out of Canada, for instance, and, you know, and Canada shared their, you know, their information with everybody. They were transparent. I mean, nobody would require, you know, compensation. But when you deceive, I saw a report this morning that now they're doing kind of now they're tracing the virus, you know, through patients and whatnot. And that they say most of the coronavirus in New York City originated in China, came from Europe. And so Europe being the port of entry, East Coast, you know, terminals being, you know, the places where people went and thus spread the virus. You know, the president's decision to restrict, you know, travel to the United States from China probably spared the West Coast a lot of those entries. But what should nations require? Because you deceived us. And, you know, it's not, I mean, you know, the reports are from doctors in China that tried to, you know, that tried to spread the word. And you knew it. And at some point, there'll be more information leaked about doctors who said, you know, who knew that this, you know, when hospital workers are getting infected, you don't need that haven't eaten bat stew. Okay, you would know that right away, right? So when was that? November? December? Certainly in December they knew. And so, anyway, you know, just a curious question. What should the United States require of China? What should the world require of China in terms of compensation? That, I mean, look what they did to Italy. You know, Spain going through it now. So, anyway, Tim Lynch, Jeff Kinney going to join us this morning. We're going to talk about Afghanistan. Afghanistan in the news again. And Pompeo threatens a full U.S. pullout. They cannot agree on a prisoner swap. The Taliban say that they're going to, you know, leave the talks and whatnot. So that thing has been a shit show. And then the Afghan government continues to be split. And then there was a rocket attack on Bagram airfield. Now, I need to post this, but there's an article that I read. I can't remember. I think I heard of it in somebody's discussion or an article that I was reading. I saw it footnoted. It's called How We Lost the High-Tech War of 2007, A Warning from the Future, written by Air Force Colonel at the time. Does he become a general? Charles Dunlop. Charles Dunlop is a colonel on active duty in the United States Air Force. So anyway, it was written in the Weekly Standard. But anyway, it's written in 1996, and it talks about, you know, our adversaries are not going to be, you know, are not going to be cowed by our technology. They're willing to die. And the article goes through all of that. And so, you know, when I thought of the article today when I saw this. The rocket attack is an attempt to inflict American casualties from afar, right? America is teetering. It wants out. All you got to do is keep killing them and they'll run, right? We know that from history. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Mondly affair. And maybe we'll do some role playing, right? We'll each pick a character in it, and we'll play who's who in the zoo. And so anyway, maybe we'll do that. But we'll talk about that, And then we'll see if they have any new thoughts on the burger plan. We've kind of developed a framework. I should probably publish the framework. It's called the Force Design Evaluation Framework from All Marine Radio. But it covers a bunch of areas, right? So what was the impetus for this, right? Is this something that, you know, was requested by combatant commanders, CENTCOM, SOUTHCOM, NORCOM, UCOM, right? All, you know, PAYCOM, INDOPAYCOM. So it talks about impetus. It talks about predictive failure, understanding that. Talks about impact on historic Marine Corps abilities to fight across the range of military operations. Talks about historic behaviors of commandants when faced with other revolutions in history post-World War II. It talks about the way General Burgers developed this course of action. It talks about adversaries. It talks about external commitments required to implement this course of action. And it talks about the role of reserves in this process. So anyway, so do they have anything new that they've either seen or read or discussed with somebody that would impact that framework? So they will join me here at the top of the hour in 38 minutes. So you have that to look forward to today. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. If you've not listened to the interview with Matt Kiker, it's K-I-K-E-R. If you punch that in, you know, you'll find an interview with him. And I'll tell you, listen to it. And if Matt Kiker, right, can get to where he is, you know, just about anybody can. So, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. You are listening to All Marine Radio. This is dedicated to one Matthew Kiker. He's a good dude, and been through a lot in his life. Just lost his aunt, another person in his family that has known so much death yesterday. So Matt, God bless you. You know, thoughts and prayers. We love you, and you know what to do. So get after it.
Thank you. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Vince Lombardi said that. Currently sunny and 72 in Quantico with 5 weather alerts. Now, that might be a record. 6 might be the record, but, oh, they just added a 6th. Here you go. There's a gale warning in effect. There's a wind advisory in effect. There's a marine weather statement. There's a special weather statement. There's a small craft advisory and a local pollen alert, all in Northern Virginia. How about that? Whoa. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, sunny and 67 right now. 29 Palms, cloudy, and 49. Pendleton, rain and 51. Camp Smith in Hawaii is dark, cloudy, and 63. Okinawa, clear, dark, and 58, so Okinawa's gotten colder. In Afghanistan, where something we'll talk about here in about 30 minutes, is dark, cloudy, and 69. And in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, yeah, that sucking noise you hear, that's Iraq and Afghanistan sucking down your tax dollar. I have to clarify that in a second. Partly sunny and 77 in the Al-Anbar province. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, it is raining at 54. The wind chill sits at 52, looking for a high of 60 with a 90% chance of rain. 100% chance tonight. 60% chance of rain tomorrow. That would be Friday. And then partly sunny on Saturday and high all the way up to 67. Like, what in God's name is going on when we have rain for a week in California in April? Okay, I heard the president talking about Afghanistan and Iraq, and he used the number $9 trillion. So I started digging around on the internet, and the number I see is closer to 7. So anyway, just for the sake of clarity, 7 trillion. So let's just say the president, right? Remember the president said that he thought his campaign was being spied on? Remember that? And he kind of said, I can't really say too much about it. So what I've learned is that normally, right, in his embellished version of the truth, there's a lot of truth there. So I would just say, so somewhere between $7 and $9 million. $7 and $9 trillion. The cost of us doing nothing in the Middle East. Yeah. Spending a whole lot of money, killing a whole lot of people, and at the end of the day, I guess we'll see what we're going to get. But I am not even cautiously pessimistic anymore. I am straight up pessimistic about both of those places. So we'll take a break. We'll go back and check news headlines. Bunch of stuff in the news. More of All Marine Radio coming up. Oh, I have one more thing. Somebody emailed me. He said, "Hey, Mac, I'm curious. I heard you talk about losing weight. How are you losing weight? What are you eating?" Oh, and I got to do shithole weather. I'm not eating much, right? How do you lose weight when you're 62? It's not easy. And I am horrible because I have a sweet tooth. And so for breakfast, I try to eat less than 1,000 calories a day. So for breakfast, I'll eat an apple, and I'll have like about a half a thing of yogurt. And the yogurt's Greek yogurt. It's about 80 calories, flavored yogurt. And then that'll last me. I'll get off the show, and I'll tie things up. And I'll normally have another apple. And you know what I have this for my sweet tooth? I have caramel corn. Yeah, it's in that red and white clear bag. I love that stuff. Anyway, so I have something for my sweet tooth. So I eat a little bit of that, not much of it. And then I'll go work out. And then after I'll work out, I'll normally, you know, have another apple. And then I'll take a nap, which I kind of transition my day towards riding at night. And then after I get up from the nap, I'll have something to eat. And it's normally just ground beef, just a hamburger patty with a salad with Thousand Islands dressing on it. And the hamburger patty is about 300 calories. And so that's it. And then I'll have an apple to after that. And so, I mean, and now this is slowly, I've been trying to do this for probably close to a year and with little or no success because of the way I eat. I mean, I love sweets. So that's the way I've done it. There's not a cookie or anything like that in the house. There's not any chips in the house. And so so most of the carbohydrate garbage is gone. And anyway, now I don't know that in terms of nutrition that's great, but in terms of weight loss it is. And so, I would tell you that within the next 2 weeks I will be back down to my active duty weight, which is 185, which will mean I will lost 22 pounds in about, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks. So it works. And the other thing I do is I have a gym in my backyard, and there's free weights out there that I lift 4 times a week. And then the way I lift is I lift, and then between, you know, reps, I hop on and I sprint on my treadmill. So I have my treadmill going relatively fast, 7 or 8 miles an hour, and then towards the end up to 9. And then if I'm feeling, you know, if I'm feeling adventurous, I'll crank it up to 10, right? So you hop on and you're sprinting. So anyway, so between reps, between sets, I hop on that. And then I've taken to like a second, like evening PT session, which only takes me about 20 minutes, but I got on my bike, and I have my bike on a trainer, and it provides resistance. And what I do is I'm only on it for about 20, 25 minutes. And so the first 5 minutes I warm up. So I have the news on or music on, and I'm just getting my legs loose. And then I start doing interval training. And my interval training is, you know, I crank it for 30 seconds, as hard as I can go for 30 seconds. And then I rest for a minute, and then I do that. And I do that, you know, 10 times, and I'm done. And then I hop off, and I come back in, I finish riding, and I go to bed. And then I get up in the morning, I weigh myself, and then I do the whole thing again. So it's, you know, I think, you know, this groundhog life has contributed to, has contributed to my ability to do this in some way, shape, or form. So anyway, I mean, you can do it, right? You can do it. And I think that, you know, you got to PT, and you got to PT more, and you got to be disciplined in what you eat. And if you'll do those things, I think you can do it. I drew inspiration from Chris Cox, you know, his color coding system for recording his weight. Red means I gained weight, green means I lost, and black means I stayed the same. And I took Jenga blocks and put numbers on them and put them in my bathroom. So I see them every day, right? So I get feedback every day. And I have one that I track. I write the number on it of where I'm at, right? I have numbers written on the block in ink, right? And every time I lose weight, I put the number on. Or the weight I discarded, I put that number on. And so that's kind of a visual reminder during the day. Speaking of Chris Cox, he told me, recently talked about planting a garden, and he shows me a plastic planter. We had things from previous growing seasons, so why not? Cucumbers, tomato, basil, hot peppers, green peppers, and giant pumpkins all started. Socked in with cloud cover today. 45 degrees currently, looking for a high of 48. Spotty showers and rain in the afternoon. Winds out of the west at 25, clearing slowly overnight into Friday. So that's what's going on as Chris Cox lives his Groundhog Day existence like the rest of us. All right. And again, it's going, interestingly enough, before we take a break, I've been trying to figure this out, right? So so what happens in the future, right? What happens in the future? I just got a text message. I'm listening to the show live. This is from Chris Cox. You're talking about your diet. Solid work, sir. 1,000 calories or less a day is no joke. That's what has worked for me. Remember, no exercise plan can defeat a shit diet. Yeah, I think it's caloric discipline along with getting off your ass, right? And, you know, it's kind of snowballs. And then you start seeing the number go down and your bodies get stronger and you feel better. And so it's kind of the self-licking ice cream cone. I wanted to say that about going, how does this thing end? Right? Or how do we transition to the next phase of it? So, you know, you're starting to hear that, you know, people say that if you're on the backside of having it, you can go to work. You have the antibodies in you now. And so how do we document that? Is there a phone app? Is there, you know, is there, you know, that's how evidently they did it in China. You know, God forbid we should copy anything they do. But maybe that is a good way. So if you've been exposed to it, right? You'd wear a mask, you'd still practice social distancing, but you could go back to work, right? What about though the vast majority of us don't have it? And so in order for us to go back to work or you to go back to work, there has to be that quick test available. So that when you begin to feel symptoms, you go take that test, and very, very early in the progression of coronavirus, it's detected and you begin treatment for it, right? You would still have to practice social distancing, and you're wearing a mask, right? If you're really the everybody I've heard speak says, hey, the mask is not going to prevent you from getting coronavirus. However, for people that have had it or have it, it keeps them, you know, its great contribution is it keeps them from spreading it. So those things are going to, you know, be with us for the not too distant future. So get yourself a cool mask. Yeah. I should probably cut up a couple of old cami blouses, right? Or I don't know if I... That would be the easiest thing, the back of a utility blouse. You have a woodland in the desert, depending on where you're going. Yeah, cool stuff. Anyway, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know, speaking of companies that have totally screwed this up, how about Zoom, right? The whole world starts using its software and its application. And then you have warnings from governments. Don't use it. Google forbids people in its employment to use it. I mean, come on, man. You could make a fortune. And probably still will. But amazing. All right. To the news we go. The in Stars and Stripes, the top story is longer deployments, health challenges, PCS uncertainty. That stands for permanent change of station. That's when people move. balancing army missions and family needs in Bavaria. So that's one headline. So uncertainty as people get told, yeah, nobody's moving anyplace. Okay. So uncertainty. Uncertainty in a world where most people, right, have it their way. As a nation, haven't been inconvenienced like this since World War II. So in the lifetime of just about everybody you know, they've never had to sacrifice for the nation or greater good. You know, even after September 11th, right? I mean, how long after September 11th did the nation start flying, and everybody could go back to work, right? Less than 2 weeks. So, pretty amazing. And people think that, they're going to fake it. You're not going to fake it through this one. And you know what? People are going to learn the hard financial lessons that, our grandparents learned, right? And that, since our grandparents, at dinner about, do you have enough money saved, honey? And be like, Grandma, come on, right? We're all going to learn why that was such great advice. We're going to relearn the basic lessons of, money in the bank, right? Making sure you can take a punch. And so, fiscally anyway, it's not a bad idea to make sure you can take a punch with in your boxing life as well. USAA says it will return $520 million to its members due to coronavirus lockdown. I mean, God bless them. Again, I get emails from, Southern California Gas, Southern California Edison. I don't see anybody saying, don't worry about paying your bill. I don't see that. My landlord hasn't, sent me a note. Hey, Mac, don't worry about your rent. We'll get to it when we get to it. Sailors from the USS Theodore Roosevelt comprise more than half of the Navy's coronavirus cases. Now, here's a question for you. Why were sailors from the Roosevelt allowed to get off their ship in Vietnam in March? Why? Whose decision was that? Captain of the ship? CEO of the battle group? That's what we used to call it. It's called the, strike group now. So you got half of them. I guess the other ships didn't do that. Interesting. So if you took the from that strike group, what percentage of the Navy's coronavirus cases are from that strike group? Right now it's 50%. And that's just from the Roosevelt. If you incorporate the other ships in the group into that, what percentage is it? And that whoever made that decision to allow that probably ought to lose their job. Yep. I'm not saying they were in Vietnam. It's connected to China, for God's sakes. Oh, it's not down here. Of course it's not. From USNI News. Investigation of former Roosevelt CO's message still in progress. This is by Sam Lagrone. The Navy's probe into the circumstances surrounding a leaked letter from the former commander of the USS Roosevelt warning leaders his sailors were at risk because somebody who was in charge of either the carrier or the battle group decided to have liberty in Vietnam while the corona thing was full blown in China during the month of March is set to be completed soon. Navy officials told USNI News yesterday. The investigation was announced in parallel to the removal of Captain Brett Crozier from command of the carrier by the former acting Secretary of the Navy Thomas Modley, who's been replaced. The inquiry remains in progress and is expected to be completed soon. Commander Nate Christensen told USNI News. It will take time for the report to be reviewed and endorsed by the Chief of Naval Operations. So, anyway, questions remain as to why Crozier felt compelled to write the letter which prompted the investigation. Now, again, according to the Secretary of the Navy, he had had conversations. Crozier had told him, hey, I was concerned, I'm okay now. And tells that to the Secretary of the Navy, let alone that letter throws his strike group admiral under the bus, 7th Fleet admiral under the bus, PACOM admiral under the bus, all those people who are supposed to be helping him out. From Senate Armed Service Committee Chairman Jim Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma. It's disturbing to me that there's been so much turmoil at the top of the Department of the Navy over the last year. In this difficult time, the Navy needs leaders now more than ever who can provide continuity and steady, insightful leadership. I also look forward to learning more about the events that led us to where we are today, from who made the decision to dock the USS Theodore Roosevelt in Vietnam at the height of a COVID-19 crisis here, to the support being given to unit commanding officers by Navy leadership, to what led the acting Secretary of Navy to offer his resignation. So, anyway. Yeah. Film 11. More. Next story. Pentagon releases new guidance for COVID-19 testing and treatment. Two separate sets of guidelines Wednesday in an effort to keep up with the medical landscape that continues to evolve. Remember, dynamic decision-making, right? The first set of guidelines is titled Force Health Protection Guidance, Supplement Number 5, contain Defense Department instructions for moving and treating patients infected with COVID. Moving patients in military aircraft, for example, is not recommended due to airflow limitations common in DOD planes, the document said. Guidance on how to handle potentially exposed patients as well as personnel displaying moderate symptoms is also included. Supplement 5 discusses an array of additional topics, including patient placement, infection control, and ventilation use. You can see the supplement here. The second document distributed Wednesday, Supplement 6, provides an update to the DOD lab testing procedures that must be followed in accordance with guidelines sent by the Center for Disease Control. So, there you have it. For the rest of us, stay where you're at and wash your hands. Yeah, no change for you. Top 5 stories in early bird. Number 1, the Pentagon says stop-loss order is unlikely, but it's an option if needed. Widely used at the peak of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, it could temporarily halt some or all troops from separating and transitioning back into the civilian world. The services have all begun offering to voluntarily extend contracts for some service members, but some involuntary measures may be needed. Quote, this is from Lisa Lawrence, a Pentagon spokeswoman. Given the impact of COVID-19 on the nation as a whole and on the military's ability to recruit and train new service members, the department is looking at a wide range of options that will ensure ensuring national security mission capability. While there are many options, stop loss is one that would only be considered if absolutely necessary and is an alternative that we will diligently work to avoid. So, stop loss, yeah, people. What? Number 2, troops fighting COVID-19 will get TRICARE and BAH boost after Trump extends Guard Title 32 orders by one day. Yeah, there's a game that gets played with reservists. And, their orders, certain things get triggered if you're over 30 days, right? So you'll get, or at the 31-day mark. So they'll get orders for 30 days. And they'll get sent home. So they'll get used and then get sent home. It's chicken shit. I remember a case where a unit from Minnesota went to Iraq. And they were mobilized for close to 3 years. and they were demobilized the day before, they would have been eligible to receive a different educational benefit or something like that. And when they found that out, the shit hit the fan. And you had, you know, elected officials running rapidly to go ahead and reverse that stuff. The cost is in for the for Mr. Maudley's trip to Guam, $243,000. So anyway, Maudley, now the village idiot. And not that he didn't do his fair share to earn it. Number four, Army Corps of Engineers beginning to run out of time to build medical facilities ahead of peak infections. Well, what's interesting to me about that is the peak has been revised downward, right? It's been revised downward. So, and who predicted that? Who told you last week that the peak was not going to be the peak? The peak was going to be much lower. Moi. That's right. That's my economics training at the University of San Diego. You're welcome. No, I still think, you know, and I haven't seen somebody make a big deal about what I think is a big deal. And that big deal is this. Dense population combined with a mass transit system that is unequaled anywhere in the world, that is the incubator. I've heard people talk about population density, but in my opinion, it's the subway. Number four, so to me, running out of time, you're seeing California and Washington return ventilators, right, to the national stockpile or send them to other states, right? I heard the governor of Louisiana either last night or this morning talking about, yeah, we will go ahead and we think we have everything set up that we need. So anyway, in Afghanistan, the government freed 100 Taliban prisoners. Now they're supposed to release 5,000. So anyway, we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. More of Almarine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it. Jeff Kenney, Tim Lynch will join me next. More of them coming up right after this here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Don't touch that dial.